The only reason to watch NFL football, and Roger Goodell knows this, otherwise he wouldn't have sold his soul to DraftKings and FanDuel and any organization that he can connect himself with in the NFL, right? Remember they used to laugh at this. They used to make the Greek come on and pretend like he wasn't talking about betting money on a game. He would say to Phyllis George, well, if you were inclined to take an interest in this game. It's like, what are you talking about, Greek? You're sending it in with both fists. We know that. The point spread is the only important thing. It was taboo to mention gambling in any form,
any way,
connected with the National Football League. And now every betting slob is welcome for a free lunch at Goodell's house. All you have to do is show a losing ticket from some casino. Yeah, come on in, Lou. How much did you lose? Well, that's too bad. I tell you what, we got another full slate of games coming up this week, and I got just the pick for you. Goodell will be touting games pretty soon on FanDuel.
Honestly.
That'll be great. This week, I really like Cleveland with the points against Kansas City.
Like the commission's takes, and then you'd go to Roger Goodell in that room he did the draft from 2 years ago.
Yeah. He's buried in the basement there with, like, the goal sheet. Pouring over stats and sabermetrics. The agent to the stars, Brett Tesser. Welcome to the show. How excited do you get? And there's still, I guess, you know, I'm watching a crawl last night, and I'm thinking, look at all these guys being announced as out for the season. Still some maneuvering to be made before the season even gets underway around the National Football League. Has your phone been ringing, my friend?
My phone's not ringing because all my players are pretty much squared away. I'm abnormally excited. In fact, I'm heading up to Tampa tomorrow. I represent a linebacker on the Cowboys and a guy on the Bucks. It's going to be great to be there for the opening game for sure.
You going to do one of those deals and wear like a half a Bucks and half a Cowboys jersey to the game?
No, I'm going to do like Don King. I'm going to leave with whoever wins.
Only Steve Smoger, the referee, he was known as Let Him Bleed. Remember that guy, Steve Smoger?
Ref
a lot of big fights.
Let Him Bleed.
Let Him Bleed, Steve Smoger.
Most of your references, nobody knows what you
said. Only he would have, you know, maintained the contention that the Marlins were still alive in 1971.
That was his motto, Let Him Bleed?
Let Him bleed, yes.
What is he, Ivan Drago?
Paramedics were attending to the guy in the corner. Hey, one more round, kid.
Let Him Bleed.
Let Him
one
Bleed.
More
I mean, a lot of people like that, though. They think it should be a fight to the finish.
Oh, Jesus.
They have that whole gladiator mentality about boxing and any kind of blood sport like that.
The time.
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defo Show.
Well, once again, everybody, great to be with you. A Tropical Acres Tuesday on the ALT Depot Show. We're presented by Destination Sport Miami. A lot of exciting things happening there, and, of course, with Altitude International as well. And on the program also, I mentioned, if you were with us and caught the tail end of the last hour of the program, why would I do that, Depot? I got things to do. Understandable. If you were with us, though, we did characterize our audience as not a fair characterization, Mike Luby Lubitz, of our audience as being a sexy audience, a particularly sexy audience. You've met many of the people that listen to the show. They've come up to you at various locations. Your many personal appearances that are booked by the station all around town. Where's Libby going to be tonight? Remember, there was a campaign there where you were out every night somewhere. You pretty much are, but very much on your own, right, with all of your trivia competitions. How many nights a week are you out there schlepping?
Tuesday and Thursday I do trivia.
Okay, very nice. So, and people come up to you, right? And they're very happy about the show. So, that's a real good feeling to get that kind of feedback. But good to have you guys with us here on a Tropical Acres Tuesday. Many things happening in the world of sport. Dave Hyde's going to join us later on. Hyde had some kind of I didn't get a chance to read it because I'm locked out. You know, when you click on, that's very frustrating when somebody posts an article on, in this case, Facebook, which is essentially the only social media that I kind of get involved with, right? And even that is tricky for me, Luby, as you know, from a technical standpoint. Now, how do I, what? Click on what? And but when you click on the article, and Dave Hyde is one of those guys I have in my, many friends there on Facebook, and I like to follow what Dave is doing, and you click on the article, and it locks you out, right? It says, hey, send us a buck.
Yes.
What is that, Luby? Send us a buck. And then you can have access to this stuff for, like, the next 11 years. I think Dave said last time the Sun Sentinel was offering into perpetuity, which is a word I didn't comprehend until I signed off on a lawsuit many, many years ago where I was actually the victim And, you had to say, well, I'll never talk to this guy about money ever again. Believe me, no matter how short my bank account might be. All right, speaking of short bank accounts, I had the occasion yesterday, Luby, to go and meet my friends Big Jack and the great Sheldon at Sheldon's place there, the Boca Resort, to play some tennis. Now, I'm not really a country club guy, as you know, Mike Luby Lubitz. And I will contend this, that Eddie Sposa and Kevin and the people there at the Pompano Municipal Tennis Center, many of whom are fans of the show, right? Hey, I heard you on the air today. Yeah, you said you were playing tennis tonight. And there's another example, right? The popularity of the show and the fact that our audience is very sexy. But anyway, they do a fine job. I mean, competitive. The courts there are as good as any. But there is something different about wandering into a country club if you were like a street kid from Brooklyn, Luby. I don't know. Did you live any kind of country club lifestyle?
Do we have country clubs here? Like, I thought that was a Northeast thing.
Our idea of a country club. Well, I'm considering this a country club because you have to have like a golf membership.
Totally, they exist. I just don't. We didn't grow up with it, like Connecticut or whatever.
Not every schlep can sign up there and just come in as a guest either. You have to. Well, who are you with? And I dropped Sheldon's name, and all of a sudden people snap to attention, which is good. There at the Boca Resort, which you have to act like you belong. Remember I taught you that many years ago when you were trying to board a plane with some kind of contraband, Luby?
Thank you.
And I said, just act like you belong, man. Oh, I think we were trying to get into a game that we didn't have tickets for or crash some party.
Yes,
what were we doing?
Kentucky Derby.
Oh, the Derby, yeah. Well, that was, that was a classic example when we pretended that you were Pat Day. Now, how poor is the security at Churchill Downs if they believed you were Pat Day?
Question me. They wished me a good race.
Well, we kind of covered you up, so you could have been Pat Day because, he doesn't have as much hair as you do, but and you're taller than Pat Day anyway. You would have been too big to be a jockey. Come on. What are you weighing right now, about 160?
160 to 170, yes. A jockey does not look or feel like me.
You would have been a very fat jockey. In fact, it would have been, really considerable that you could even be a harness driver at that point. Anyway, so I roll into this country club, and the first thing I noticed was, they have like Lamborghinis and Ferraris, a lot of Mercedes over there at the Boca Resort, at the valet parking. Yes, can you bring my car up, please, George? Yes, I'll be leaving for my nail appointment. No, you wouldn't even have to leave the grounds. But what happens? What was the first question that everybody asked me? Hey, where'd you get that Tiguan?
Nice.
And I said, the old Volkswagen, right? Yeah. I mean, imagine this. I'm rolling in there with a car that was like 20 dimes in the low 20s. And these guys paid like $160,000 for these cars that they have to take to the shop all the time. So I was never really a country club guy, per se. And part of that was like our idea of a country club in New York. When I was growing up in Brooklyn, was if you knew somebody in Queens, like a distant relative that had an above-ground pool that was right outside the railroad tracks, that was it. Very spiffy, though, going in there and, having a guy hand you like a hot towel in between games.
That's cool.
And sitting there with like a little fan and, holding an umbrella over your head so you don't get any sun. Really, really interesting stuff there. Pricey, though, right? What do you think it costs to be a member of the Boca Resort?
God, thousands. It's ridiculous. That's the problem with the country clubs. They're really cool, but it's a large monthly fee. Like, you need to go, like, every day for dinner or something to take advantage of it.
And any whack here, like, for all kinds of charges, nothing against it. I mean, they're entitled to do whatever they want. Obviously, is it all designed to keep out the riffraff? What do you think?
No comment.
Which, in our case, I mean, we definitely qualify as riffraff. Because, see, you didn't experience this. Did you play a lot of ball in the streets, Luby?
Yes, my whole
growing
life.
Growing up in what?
Yes.
Why do I want to say you grew up in Plantation?
Sunrise.
Plantation,
you want me
right?
to be from Plantation, which is very similar. They're right next to each other. Sunrise. I grew up in Sunrise. We played in the street. Football, baseball, basketball. I played street hockey. Everything. Soccer. We did everything in the street.
We were so, trained and used to and accustomed to playing ball in the streets that even when most of Brooklyn migrated to Long Island, in my case, Belmore, we still played in the streets, even though there were like fields with grass.
Yep.
We didn't know what to do with them because, my idea of fields with grass is kind of, and I know you always rip me for doing this, when I wax quasi-poetic at spring training and talk about, you know, the smell of the fresh cut grass and all that stuff. And everybody in the audience is thinking, what kind of grass did he just cut up? Ooh, you Ring Lardner all of a sudden, DeForest? I mean, who the hell do you think you are? All right, anyway, a lot of fun yesterday. The Raiders, how did you miss that one from the Signs of the Gods of Gambling, right? Especially when Jason Cole came out and condemned John Gruden as being just a fraud of a coach. Fraud. Do you believe that, Lumi? I mean, is that a little extreme of an opinion by Jason Cole about John Gruden? You think he can't coach a lick?
I don't know if he can't coach a lick, but the stuff Cole said after the fact is sort of true. Like, after the Super Bowl that was Tony Dungy's team, it was a total disaster in Tampa. And since then, with the Raiders, it's been a total disaster. So, I mean, last night was a great win for them. But, yes, Cole wasn't so wrong. Gruden sort of a lot of bluster without a lot of success.
Never trust a man. I mean, this leads to an important piece of philosophy. Never trust a man with a Captain Kangaroo haircut.
Exactly.
To have good judgment. I mean, the guy's looking in the mirror. He looks like Bob Keeshan, right? Talking about Mark Davis.
The owner.
Yes, the owner. And, you know, let's face it. What business is he in, Luby? The football business?
Family business.
The inheritance business. Which can be good business. Yom Kippur, we're going to be off on Thursday for Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Is that true, Mike Luby Lubitz?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're going to shul. I will be hoping that now this absolves you. Is this the holiday where you were absolved of all of your sins for the year by doing certain, you know,
yes,
certain prayers?
Repenting. You're supposed to
by not eating?
And repent. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the point of the holiday.
Like, how do you define repenting? Like, face down all day on the floor? What
you're supposed
is that?
To apologize to those that you feel like you've done wrong, and you're supposed to, you know, show that you really have contrition. That's really the idea, is to cleanse your soul.
Okay, yeah. Kind of like a parole hearing for the soul.
Sure, why not?
I'm a reformed individual,
I tell
you what. I was
thinking like the Jew of confession, but whatever makes you.
I'm really sorry about that. I should have called my mother more, probably, before she passed away. I would feel a little bit of guilt about that, because you can't get it back, right? I mean, that's a lot of life. You can't get it back. My biggest sin, though, I don't know, does this fall under the umbrella of things that would be absolved by praying and observing all of the traditions of Yom Kippur? What was not betting Meshuggah in that race at Gulfstream Park? And the 7-5 exacted, it came back like thousands. How can I ever be forgiven for that, Luby? Is there any chance?
I don't know. If it ever... if
how involved?
By that kind of a name ever runs again, you have to go all in on it.
No, it's too late. The ship has sailed, my friend. I mean, we're talking Flemish cap on that thing. It's over. Ice machine's broken. All right, we're coming back with more. It's a Tropical Acres Tuesday. Dave Hyde going to join us on the other side of a deal, Volkswagen DeForest Files. That's coming up in about 10 minutes here on the show, if you're following the clock. It's the ALT Depot Show presented by Destination Sport Miami. Also later on, Harvey Fiakov. Yankees came back from the dead yesterday, I think, in an afternoon game. I tell you what's interesting, Luby, and I was opposed to this. This is one case where I can admit that I was, well, one of many cases I can admit that I was dead wrong on this, like dead wrong. The added wild card team in Major League Baseball.
That's been great.
And the one-game playoff. Think about this now. The Dodgers... they're 16 games up in the wild card, right, Lumi? 16 games up. And yet, they still have a chance to dodge that one-game playoff by catching the Giants, whom they're 3 games behind. So all of their games become interesting, as do the games for the Giants, right? You don't want to drop into the other category. And then, like, 16 more teams are alive in the wild card chase with legitimate shots. The Reds, the Padres, the Cards, the Phils. And the Mets are even still alive in that race, 3 games back. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment, now that I've read you the standings. That's hard to find, too, accurate wild card standings for some reason. You could Google that all day long and wear out your fingers till they have no fingerprint. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:19. Are we all in stable but critical condition? Is that the way all life is, Luby, in a general, more figurative sense? Would you say you're in stable but critical condition? I believe you are right now.
Probably.
On the threshold of getting married in the early portion of 2021. Don't you think it's a little soon, kid? You barely know this woman. What are you
doing?
We've
been together 4 years.
Well, I guess you know enough.
How much longer do you want her to put up with me?
Is it you that's pushing for this?
It's equal. We're both very happy and in love. It's very gross.
Oh, my God. All right. It's a foreign concept. You have to understand where I'm coming from. 0 for 2 with a walk. And, you know, right now I think I got a 3-2 count and our marriage number 3. But, and only because of the benefit of a really poor call on a ball that was clearly right down the middle of the plate. You know one of those Angel Hernandez calls. Hey, get out of here.
Enjoy your trip to work with lots of laughs thanks to Defo and Luby. Now on the Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show, Tropical Acres Tuesday on the ALT Depot Show, presented by Destination Sport Miami. Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel coming up. Locked out of that article, I don't know, what did he have to say about Tua? Are we already passing conclusive judgment that Tua is never going to be able to throw the ball deep in the National Football League, hang in the pocket, or look off a receiver and go to a secondary guy? What do you think, Luby? That was like Dick Dickman coming out of me right
Stu
there.
Stu Dickman. Who's Dick?
Stu Dickman, yeah. Jersey wanted me to change the name of my alter ego to Dick Dickman.
No.
But what do you think?
I like
Stuart Dickman with a Jewish afro. Yes. I mean, that kind of guy. He thinks he knows everything about sports.
Yes. And he has never played. He hasn't played since he was a child. Definitely.
Doesn't matter about playing. See, I don't consider that. You don't necessarily, I don't believe you had to have played to understand what's going on out there. Now, it helps to have played at some level to realize, okay, this is what happened on that, right? The guy took his eye off the ball, right? Because you were out there and you did it a zillion times yourself. Or you know that if you're drifting as you're taking your fabled 30-foot jump shot where everybody's screaming, no, 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 that chances are if you're not squared up, you're not going to make the shot. So, you know, you can understand a few basic things without having been at the highest of levels. I mean, it has to be different to play the game at the speed. I mean, imagine trying to whack back like 20 straight Djokovic backhands like this Medvedev guy did. Luby, that's a different level of understanding.
Yes.
Right? When a racket's ready to fall out of your hands and your arm is hanging down to the ground like an orangutan, you're like, what? I still got in another shot? You have to be kidding me. Different level of the whole thing. The Greek, speaking of different levels, 4-0 in his selections on the show. Do we invite him back on Friday to do it again, Luby?
Yeah, every week. He's a part of our
every week
Fridays.
This guy's going to be giving out winner after winner now. Do you think the Greek would know the price of a membership to the Boca Resort Country Clubs? A golf membership has to be pricey there, no?
Yes.
Nice golf course, and I notice nobody's playing. Can nobody afford it? Is it that expensive that nobody plays? I'm beautiful. Manicured course there. I mean, they should hold pro tournaments there. I want to say that I played out there in some kind of charity scramble one time. Can you imagine how the people feel at the security gates, or especially like maybe you show up at the front desk of the hotel looking for the tennis courts, and you see a couple of schleps like me and Big Jack? did you say, what was the name of the person that you're with here, the member? And they jack you for like $20 to play tennis, say, even if you're a member, for like your guests. That's a bit much, isn't it, Libby? That's why I'm a park guy. I don't know. That kind of thing would trouble me. What do you think? Stay at the parks?
Well, I don't pay. Yeah, the pay-to-play thing is, it always bothers me. Like, there's so many parks out there where you can just go play. It would weird me out to pay for tennis.
It's usually some kind of fee. Yeah, I mean, there's a small fee involved at Pompano Municipal. But if you're a member, I mean, they have one of the greatest deals. It's not like you have to ante up 30, 40 dimes just to be a member.
Exactly.
I don't know. Is that too low? Check with the Greek. See if he has a membership. He's coming your way at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And in Marlins baseball, we're alive in a deal Volkswagen. Run for 71. Barely. I mean, we're hanging on. Or it's almost Terry Schiavo time here. On the whole campaign, is it not? That was, you remember that case?
Yes,
that was wild.
I was in Tallahassee.
Who was it?
When they stormed
the Capitol.
Oh, Jeb
Bush, man.
Yes, it was Jeb Bush.
He wouldn't pull the plug on this thing? Yes. Yeah. Poor woman had been in a coma for what, like 12 years? What was that? That was insane. Anyway, we may be Schiavo-esque on this, but nonetheless, 10-8 is what we need the rest of the way now. With a chance to win again tonight. Against a weak and last-place Washington Nationals team, 7:05 with the first pitch. And we found a way to make Marlins baseball at the tail end of the season. And so is Sandy Alcantara. See, nobody's paying attention to what this cat's doing, right? Because he's doing it, unfortunately, for a team that is staggering around there trying to win 71 games this year. But great, great performance by Alcantara last night. Eight innings, one-hit ball. And I think he had a four-hitter, was that it, against the Mets for nine innings.
A complete game.
Last time
out. It went nine innings, yeah, it went to 10.
Holy Nolan Ryan, man. Yeah, this guy's becoming an Iron Man. All right, and who pitches complete games anymore in Major League Baseball? Blake Snell, zero complete games. Blake Snell, brilliant pitcher with a Cy Young Award. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Holy Whitey Ford, huh? We lost Whitey this year, right?
Yes, checked yes out? We did. Yes, we did.
Oh, man. Great pitcher. Imagine that. Zero complete games. It's 7:30. Playing in front of their home crowd in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium for the very first time. Loving home NFL dogs to begin with made it especially delightful to capitalize on the angle that, no matter how little our friend Jason Cole thinks about John Gruden as a coach, there had to be some mystical angle that would allow the Silver and Black to, at least, cover a point spread in their first game in their new home in front of a crowd. We saw any number of new quarterbacks showing promise in Week 1, and plenty of sharp play in highly competitive ball games to kick off the season. It's hard to imagine people and the league bought into the notion six preseason games were necessary to prep a team properly for regular season play at one time. While we lived with four games seemingly forever, the cutback to three leading to Week 1 of the regular season gave no indication these exhibitions serve any purpose at all. Those who thought it was time for this cutback were more than correct. And if Week 1 of NFL action this year served as any indicator, it's only a matter of time before that preseason number gets knocked down to an even more perfect two. Jeff DeForest for the DeForest Files. David, are the Dolphins evolving into a well-run franchise? Chris Greer has made some interesting moves. I mean, regardless of what they've tried to do, they win 5 games, 10 games with Brian Flores as coach and Greer as the main guy in the general manager's chair. Now, with this small little fire they had going with Xavier Howard, they managed to put that out and douse those flames before the season gets underway. What's happening with this Dolphin franchise? Is it possible that they are finally on a path to go in the right direction?
Oh, God, I hope so. I mean, as a poor sports writer, having to cover mediocrity to less than mediocrity for most of 2 decades, I hope so.
Buenos dias. The cafecito is piping hot. Why not enjoy it with Defo and Luby? It's now time for the Defo Show.
I don't want to say I was blocked by the buck, but I'm glad this man is coming on to clarify some of the thoughts that he had written about in the Sun Sentinel on Tua Tagovailoa's performance, the Miami Dolphins' big win over the New England Patriots, if it could be considered that. I certainly think it's nothing to sneeze at, especially in this era of COVID, when you beat the Patriots on the road, Bill Belichick with the Dolphin team season opener. We welcome to the show from the Sun Sentinel their outstanding columnist, Mr. David Hyde. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Defo. Ready to, what do we got? We got Buffalo coming in here now for this.
Yes.
We got Michigan State. We got a lot of interesting football news going on.
It only figures to get more intriguing, as Al Bernstein would say, as we keep moving. All right, I tried to read your article on the Dolphin game, your review. I got blocked by not having the buck to Annie
still
up there.
Giving that $1 for 6 month offer, huh?
I'm gonna get the membership. Cool. Right.
I think you said last time it was perpetuity they were talking about. Like you get the Sun Sentinel until they went out of print, which hopefully won't be for a long, long time, at least as long as you're there. And Winderman, of course. So we got to support Ira Winderman.
At our age, six months is perpetuity.
Yes. I am day to day, even at this radio station, much less in life. All right, so what did you think? What was your overall impression? Luby has Tua going to the Hall of Fame. There were things to like about the game and things to look at and go same old stuff.
Yeah. No. First of all, you get a win in New England, no matter how it comes. You take it and you run to the airport and fly home. So,
yeah.
No matter how and your best player made the best play of the game. Xavier Howard saved the game. Strip of Damian Harris and falling on the fumble and. And you go home and you take that. Now, building on it, you need some more. You know, you look at the numbers, and And the Patriots dominated the game from total yards to first downs to time of possession. All the numbers that you stack up and you say, okay, what's sustainable as far as a whole season? The Patriots had those numbers. The Dolphins had less penalties and the turnovers. The Patriots had those two fumbles. Tua had the one bad interception. And let's be honest, if the Patriots don't fumble the ball at the 9-yard line with 4 minutes to go, we're yeah. all talking about the Tua interception. Yes. That was not an NFL play. Even he said afterwards, I was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. Unfortunately, it didn't get there. And so you're 1-0, and you're a little fortunate to be 1-0, but you take it.
A premature evaluation, then, in your opinion, Dave Hyde, by Mike Lubitz, that Tua is ticketed for Canton.
I've never seen that.
In 2045, will be the induction.
Yes, I have it hanging in the studio for him, yes.
2041, I think, is the year that he's going to have the induction ceremony. Yeah, I'm with you, Dave Hyde. A snowplow game, as boring as that was and controversial. And I think Shula went to his grave still mad at that guy that they had on work release from prison. But, take a victory over Bill Belichick on the road in a divisional game anytime, and all the cliches apply. All right, Manny Diaz. Are we expecting too much of this guy? And I mean, I don't know. I mean, some people are still holding on to the idea that the Canes can be a top echelon program again. What is your feeling about A, Manny Diaz, and B, that whole notion that we're going to get back those decades of dominance at any time within our lifetime, speaking of short trips?
Well, it's not expecting too much for them to beat Appalachian State by more than a heart attack at the end, right? That's not expecting too much. Now, can they be a national showcase again like they were, the powerhouse? If the stars align and everything. But, you look at things they don't have, facilities and all that stuff, and you compare that against what they do have, which is the best recruiting base in the country. And they're not getting enough of the players. I mean, you look at Alabama, two of their – watch the game the other week against Miami. Two of their secondary – two of the guys in defensive backfield were from Miami. You've got guys across the board. It seems like every year a receiver goes to the NFL or a defensive back from South Florida. When those guys start – going from the University of Miami and not Alabama and Georgia and the other schools, then we can start to have the discussion of will Miami be back? Look, the Alabama game, you knew Alabama was going to destroy Miami, right? I mean, they destroy pretty much everybody. So that doesn't make it any better to watch. To me, the more alarming game was Appalachian State, and you can say, well, there was a hangover from Alabama and all that stuff. But, okay, here comes Michigan State, a mid-level, maybe upper mid-level Big Ten team coming into South Florida in September in the heat. Maybe this will be the most telling game of where we are with Miami.
On Destination Sport, ALT Defoe Show coming to you, 941 Swift on the iRadio app, talking to the one and only Dave Hyde. Follow him up on Twitter at Dave Hyde Sports. Well, specifically on Manny, and Defoe sort of touched on it, but what are your thoughts on Manny Diaz? This is now, year four, year three?
Year three.
Okay. Year three, Manny Diaz. We talked with Segretto. You got to let a guy put his players in. That's a fourth recruiting class they're working on now. Three recruiting classes behind him. What are your thoughts on Manny Diaz? What is the word on Manny Diaz? Because a lot of Canes fans aren't happy, and the verdict is still out to me.
Well, yeah, the verdict is out to me. I'm not sitting here, jumping up and down saying, oh, my God, Manny can't do it. Give him certainly 3 years. Let's take a reality check. Everybody who's jumping up and down excited Manny Diaz was here a few years ago when Mark Rick left and they got Manny back from Temple. You don't hear that now, okay? And so he's got He's got to start winning. They don't play anybody great on the schedule the rest of the way. So, you know, there's a chance there to start putting some wins together. And if you get a couple wins, you get some momentum, we'll see.
We've been writing kind of an epitaph on our Run for 71, Deal Volkswagen Run for 71 with the Marlins since the early stages of the season. There were different times we had rise for optimism, but as a columnist in town, and I don't think this man is getting enough attention for what he's doing of late, especially Sandy Alcantara. Is it possible, Dave Hyde, that we do have a legitimate ace here? And it's rare you would see this, I think, that especially in today's, you know, with today's baseball philosophies, that you have a guy throwing complete games and going eight innings in ball games late in the season when your team is essentially hopelessly out of it.
Well, yeah, he's getting no attention because the Marlins get no attention here, including from people like me. I mean, they've been 20 games under 500 about the 10-game mark of the season, right? I mean, it's been an awful year. It's an awful year for the Marlins, and they can, you know, dress up as a future and all that, but you expected them to at least be competitive this year. Now, Alcantara.
Well, what do we know of this man,
though? He's an ace
of ace.
Yeah, he's an ace of ace. Now, the question with him, what do they do with him this offseason? He's starting to come into big money. This is a team loaded with pitching and no hitting. If they're going to be Tampa, which seems to be the model, you trade Alcantara and you get hitting. I fully expect that to happen.
Yep.
That they're going to trade Alcantara, get a top young hitter or two, and, you know, try to look. This is what Tampa does every year, and if you're going to go down this road, this is you can't.
You have to accept
a certain divert. You know, they got a lot of pitching, not obviously established pitching like Alcantara is right now, but a couple years ago Alcantara wasn't at this level, and they got a lot of pictures of Sandy Alcantara from 2 or 3 years ago.
I had a sharp pain when you said that, though. It still hurt. I buy into the concept of the Rays. Yes.
Baseball is impossible to, you know, follow from the standpoint of, boy, I really like this player. It's going to be fun watching him for the next 5 years, you know, especially this market. It's brutal.
I often thank the fact that my heyday in this ballgame sportscasting came before the age of Twitter, especially with my relationship with the Florida Gator Nation, which, you know, I was receiving death threats on the phone lines. So I can't imagine what kind of skewering there would have been with my adversarial approach to the Florida Gators. But I will be rooting for the Florida Gators in their game against Alabama because I think overwhelming to all of those bitter thoughts and memories that I have about my battles with the Gator Nation is my despising of Nick Saban. So what do you make of Bama and Florida? Alabama, I believe, is a 15-point favorite in this game. So Florida getting just slightly better regard than Miami did, even though they've gotten off to a 2-0 start. But is there any chance, in your opinion, that Bama goes to the swamp and takes a dive?
No chance. No.
I tried. I even gave you my Gator Nation story, David.
You set me up.
Oh my
gosh. Gave me every you're opening
everything
door
like
for me to walk through. No. You know, say it's you can everybody can hate Saban, but nobody does it better than him. And you've seen the psychology of his coaching after the Miami game on Tuesday. They had a horrible practice. I'm not sure if he kicked his team out, but he certainly called them out. And after Saturday's game, they were horrible. You know, the effort, the focus, whatever. He called them out again. So, and I forget who they played. It was a Notre Dame team, and easy victory. And so the psychology of him obviously is let's not get fat.
Exactly.
We got a big long season.
Exactly.
And he, you know, he knows what he's doing. And so there's not a chance they would take Florida lightly. And that's really what you need, you know, maybe later down in the year where they've played 5 or 6 tough games in a row, you have a chance of sneaking up on them, but not this game.
Did he pull out pictures of Waterloo? I mean, How do you motivate the modern day kid?
The song or the war?
Yeah, exactly.
These kids seem impervious, though, to pressure. I mean, watching the U.S. Open, I don't know if you caught any of that action with the women's side of things, where, I mean, the solid veteran pros who have been in the game for, you know, 5-6 years and at the highest levels are just quivering in fear, and these young girls, they literally were oblivious to the pressures that they were playing under. It's hard to imagine getting chewed out by a coach would fly with kids today.
Nah.
Oh, it's great to be young, and remember those old 2003 Marlins with Josh Beckett and all those young kids, and the thought, I remember Jack McKean say they're too young to really understand.
Exactly.
True. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. Youth wasted on the young. All right, enjoy the Yom Kippur holiday. I know you're probably being observant, Steve Hyde. No, I mean, it's a great holiday, though.
I'm taking the day. Yeah. I'm taking Thursday off. Yeah,
enjoy
absolutely.
It. Thank you.
So are we. All you know right. What? We're taking it off. Luby claims he's going to be in shul, I'm not trying to fool anybody with that.
I will be.
be true to your shul. Right?
Exactly.
I'll be praying at the table, the temple of Gulfstream Park, I believe. All right. thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure,
all right,
my friend.
Gentlemen. Talk to you later.
You are Hyde, man.
Great American, Dave Hyde. All right, he's not as sold on Tua as you are, Luby. He's not willing to make as many excuses as
you are. I've
never
said he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I just like the kid, and I want him to get a fair shake. Yeah, no, I didn't say he played great Sunday. He didn't. That interception, but I like the idea, but he needs to be quicker. His reads are not quick. He's not decisive. I can openly admit that. He's openly admitted that. Now it's time to work out, to change it.
And herein lies the problem for the University of Miami, and this is nothing new. I mean, you don't have to be any kind of genius to make this deduction. Which is why I'm going to go ahead and do it here on the show, because this is sports talk, as it's supposed to be. But, I mean, once Howard's secret went out that this was a great place to get players, now everybody has players from South Florida. You can't count on Manny Diaz with where the UM program has been to snare all of these top guys when Nick's in town.
Yes.
Nick.
Well, Nick and Dabo and
all of them.
Ryan Day and Eddie O and all these.
And you still have, I don't know how much you have the competition with Florida State, but it's still a desirable destination,
yes.
I guess.
Yes.
At least for the time being, Luby.
Florida recruits it. Yeah, for now.
And Florida, you know, obviously has been doing well because they've sustained a reasonably, decent level of, being competitive in the SEC and you know, even for a national championship. It's not quite there, but. You know, they've been playing at a decent level for a while the UM has kind of floundered. All right, coming back. Remember, weren't they like almost ranked number one a few years ago?
Yes.
I mean, they were making this giant ascent. Oh, my God. How wrong were those guys? All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:55. You can't fake caring. Women can sense this immediately.
You don't really care. You didn't really want to do any of this.
We now return to the Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the program here, it's a Tropical Acres Tuesday on the ALT Defo Show, which is presented by Destination Sport Miami. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Harvey Fialkoff, longtime Sun Sentinel sports writer, Brett Tester, the agent of the stars, Mike Mayo later on, the gambling gourmet on a Tropical Acres Tuesday. We're coming back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz, the Greek, coming your way 3 o'clock. Marlins baseball needing 10-8 in the deal Volkswagen run for 71. We need Alcantara out there every night. 7:05 start for the first pitch today for Marlins baseball, Marlins and the Nationals after the Marlins won 3-0 last night. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 8:01.